goes for goal and finishes off the PSG victory.
Nuno Mendes est lancé, Nuno Mendes navigue, Nuno Mendes passe devant Cuadrado, le tir, oh il est beau celui-là, le but de Nuno Mendes.
You know the football, it is what it is.
Le premier but de Ronald Colomboli avec le Paris Saint-Germain, ah quelle joie.
Hello and welcome to PSG Review, the show feeling victorious after Le Classique against the stadium, the opponent and the referee, and with absolutely no inclination to make a petty point online like one of our players did after the match, also known as the show that actually spent some time thinking about details such as if PSG beats Barcelona in Champions League, it will be the only club in Europe with both men and women's teams in the Champions League semi-finals, and of course, if we don't, it will be Barcelona. So this is a great time to make a statement as far as club football goes. All of it. My name is Mika. Thank you very much for tuning in. Although it's a bit of an outdated terminology, I guess, in that you tune into a radio station, not podcast. But whatever the version is here online in the great internet, then that too. Thanks for being with me. And feel free to talk to me online at PSG Review Pod on Twitter and at PSG Review on Instagram and TikTok. I'm also on Blue Sky. And every episode is now available also on YouTube on top of the usual podcast platforms. Le Classique, it doesn't get much bigger than that in the French domestic club football. Granted, Marseille has a bit of an abysmal track record against us for a very, very, very long time. But nevertheless, twice a year we are invited to pretend like they are a football project and a proposition to be taken seriously. I'm being a little bit facetious, but if you're looking at this, that's purely not very much. There's a lot of hype and the match rarely lives up to it, but we play them and we watch them and it's part of the dance of being a football fan. I guess these rivalries certainly keep the experience interesting and emotionally engaging, sometimes perhaps even too much to be honest with you, and it's easy to enjoy them as PSG supporter, of course. The ones representing those unpleasant baby blue and white of southern France probably have a very different experience, at least in the recent times, but that's not exactly my problem. Last year, I do remember we were talking about this rivalry in more detail, the sort of historical, social and cultural backdrop and subtext of it all with Stu from Parisian Londoner. You can find that episode from PSG Review podcast feed also if you are interested. Because of course it's not just how good each side is on football at any given time, but there's much more to this competition behind the hype and the PR. So PSG traveled to the south coast without the captain Marquinhos, and Nuno Mendes also was not with the squad, but Marco Asensio as well as Milan Skriniar were available. Kylian Mbappe started as a captain still, and in front of Donnarumma there was back four consisting of Ashraf Hakimi, Danilo, Lucas Peraldo and Lucas Hernandez. Midfield with Warren Zaïre-Emery, Vitinha and Fabian Ruiz, and with Kylian Mbappe on the front line there was also Ousmane Dembele and Randal Kolo Muani. The early part of the match saw a few decent chances on both ends. Nothing really that amazing. Marseille perhaps had more dangerous chances, but they kind of missed them all, so they were not that dangerous, but they could have been, and perhaps they should have been if they have been more accurate. And PSG had some dangerous chances, actually dangerous chances, but they also didn't go in either, so there was no difference in that. From the early part of the match, the referee Benoit Bastien wanted to be the star of the velodrome. He was giving PSG yellow cards left, right and center, so it certainly felt like. And finally, after 40 minutes, he was invited to check a shoulder-to-shoulder tackle by Lucas Peraldo, who was already on a yellow card. So this tackle was fairly ordinary in my books. He gave a small push, Peraldo did, in the end of it, but the foundation was a simple shoulder-to-shoulder, a good old-fashioned one within the rules of the game, contact where basically the stronger player or the one with more momentum tends to win, or just the one with the better balance at the time. But Aubameyang, who was the other part of it, he was receiving it and he fell in such a fast speed as they were running quite fast. And the grass was soaking wet, so Aubameyang sort of slid pretty theatrically towards Luis Enrique's feet. He wasn't faking it. I'm not making that claim, but I mean, it just was what it was. And it looked much more than what it was. It wasn't all that much, in my opinion. But after the video review, Bastien gave Beraldo a direct red card. All this happened around midfield, just past the halfway line, and Beraldo was between the ball and the forward. Yet somehow the referee felt that this was a clear and obvious goal-scoring opportunity. I don't really think that way, but of course, I also understand that the referees are professionals and they're paid to do their job. It's easy for me to criticize them from the sideline, but come on, this was... Yeah, well, it is one of those things, and you don't have to take my word for it because I'm very biased and I make no secret of that. But for the French broadcaster of the match, Adil Rami, he was one of the pundits in the night, and he is, of course, a Marseille guy. He used to play for them, and there in front of the 60,000 home fans, I mean, they couldn't hear him at the time, of course, but he did say that in front of them for the TV cameras, and he said, honestly, there was no red, even yellow, I wouldn't give. That was Adil Rami. This was the most important match of the season for Ligue 1 PR. I'm not saying it's the best match, but the two classiques are key matches in the calendar. And somehow this one in Stade Vélodrome seems even more significant because it gives the underdog a home field advantage. And Bastien made it all about himself by unbalancing the squad. Well, let's be fair here. We already heard that Adil Rami didn't think that any kind of card was required, and I tend to agree with him out of all people, if you can believe it, but they also talked to Benoît Bastien himself.
Le critère numéro un, évidemment, déjà, c'est la position des défenseurs en capacité d'intervenir.
The first criterion is the position of defenders able to intervene. At the time of the foul, the dynamics of the action towards death, the ability of the offensive player to continue the action as well as control the ball, and the absence of defenders able to intervene are the criteria which makes it possible to say that there is a clear scoring opportunity stopped by Mr. Beraldo despite the distance.
De dire qu'il y a une occasion nette de but qui a été stoppée par l'intervention illicite de Monsieur Beraldo.
Benoît Bastien spoke these words to Amazon Prime TV. Basically, regardless of the fact that this was far from the goal, Beraldo was the last defender, so in that light, okay, there are rules around that, but my question is, A, is this really a foul or shoulder-to-shoulder tackle that looked much more than it was because the forward slid away after losing his balance? To me, Beraldo came from the side, he didn't come from the back, and he wasn't chasing Aubameyang. They were running there together next to each other. We can, of course, also ignore the fact that it was halfway line and far from the goal line. Right there, actually, the sideline. Not doing the tackle would not have let the Marseille forward alone with the keeper. Very far from that. That was not what was about to happen. I get that it's very tricky for the referee. Like I said, it's easy to criticize them, and they get a lot of criticism from the both sides. I saw online on Twitter and that I saw that there were Marseille fans who were criticizing him having made mistakes that were costly to them, they felt, which is what it is, I guess, but also maybe they are thinking about the same about our complaints. And I have said it repeatedly that there's nothing more boring, incredibly boring in football than having a supporter of a club like PSG complaining about the refereeing because there are other advantages and so on and so forth. This is not what I would like to spend any moment of doing, but this has happened now, and it is true that the referees, they have to follow the letter of the rules quite precisely, even as opposed to the spirit or intention of them, or even the spirit of the game. Like I said, this is a postcard game of French football, so to center yourself as its big talking point, well, if it didn't happen so incredibly often with these referees as it does, then I guess it would be easy to take as a coincidence. But they do seem to end up in those situations quite often. And all fairness, they also seem quite comfortable in them. They are quite able to suck the celebrity out of the stars on the pitch. Be that as it may. An argument can be made, I guess. I didn't see the situation like that at all. I can't believe I'm actually agreeing with Adil Rami, like said, out of all people. But this is what it is, perhaps. Perhaps I lack objectivity, as was suggested online. But to me, it wasn't even so much so that was it a clear and obvious goal-scoring opportunity. But even whether Beraldo's action is deemed card-worthy, which it hadn't been initially by Bastien himself. In the end, it didn't really matter very much. If anything, it gave the team a lot of extra grit, and this, anyways, isn't a hill I would die on. But in all fairness, if this went the other way around, we would benefit from a similar decision. I'd also think it was undeserved, unhelpful to the gameplay, and most of all, very, very, very soft. Now, when it comes to the actual match, on one hand, I wasn't worried. I was annoyed, that's for sure. But I wasn't frightened, because if nothing else, PSG has played better with 10 than with 11 at times. Every time, and I know it's not that often this season, but every time we have been reduced to 10 players, it's been pretty good match there on end. On the other hand, I was concerned because there was still over a half of the match to be played, and also because we have some big matches coming, of course, thick and fast, as they say, so this additional workload wasn't exactly ideal. Be that as it may, Vitinha scored a great goal after 53 minutes, and then to finish things off on the 85th minute, Gonzalo Ramos, who had come from the bench, scored another, which was a nice collaboration with him and Marco Asensio. 50 minutes with 10 against 11 players, the crowd of 60,000 and the referee, our PSG, won the match 0-2. And I feel like this is one that will go into our folklore as one of the great ones. We need to come up with new ways of winning Le Classique, and this certainly was one of them. Fair play to our team, but this was a great achievement that showed a lot of heart, and that's what we need when the season is coming to its last stretch. And not to spend too much time on this, but it has to be mentioned that when it was time for Mbappe to make room on the pitch, he looked devastated. Well, no, devastated, vexed. He looked very unhappy one way or another, and that's one thing. I fully get that he's an ambitious competitor. He hates to be substituted. We know that pretty well. He's been doing the same thing for many different coaches, and some coaches were never brave enough to take him off. But then to add a little bit to the storm in a teacup, he posted a photo where he's moping away from the pitch in a rain, holding the captain's armband, which is, to put it very politely, so unnecessary, quite petty. Look at it like this. His team had one of the great victories against the rival club in the biggest match of the French football calendar. They had managed to do this in the pouring rain on hostile ground with 10 players. And while all his teammates were joyful and celebrating, he was centering the whole match around him like he was a Ligue 1 referee, like as if the match ended with his benching, as if he hadn't just played two full matches of inconsequential international friendlies the week before, not resting. And if there isn't the Coupe de France semi-final coming in a few days, and a week later the Champions League quarter-final first leg against Barcelona, and with all this, I'm not even mentioning that his match was otherwise very forgettable. I mean, essentially this seemed like part of his farewell tour of France, where he just makes his last appearance in various stadiums around the country, and those matches never go well, they are never very exciting, but when he comes to fight, which he often does also, it's a lot better. It's quite a lot of fun to watch, and anything can happen. But of course, everybody has off days, and not every match is amazing for any player, and that's understandable. So to his credit, you know, it has to also be said that just moments before he was asked to make room for other players, he had shown some intensity, quite a bit even. So perhaps he was only then getting started, but he certainly had the opportunity before that. But he needs to learn to share his minutes with his teammates. This is going to happen more and more during the last part of the season. That just is what it is. It's in bad taste to make a post like this after a match like this, a victory. Sure, you should make it about yourself, even if you had scored a winning goal. But to make a post about it, how you walk sadly in the rain, I don't know. I don't want to get too much into semiotic analysis of this photo, but this match was not about him and his relative melancholy. perhaps his frustration was that one of the records he doesn't hold for PSG is to be the top scorer of Le Classique. Zlatan in his four seasons scored a few more, so perhaps his hope was a hat-trick and history on the enemy territory, and don't get me wrong, none of us would have been anything but ecstatic if he would have done that, if that would have happened, but it was far from that. In reality, this always needs to be said. The disclaimer, since we still have this one player fans among our fan base, I praise him when it's deserved, but I also equally can critique if that's what is needed. I'm not a Mbappe fan, I'm a fan of PSG, and I talk about our players like I do. But also, if your salary is the highest one of the squad with such margin, yeah, you have to accept that the expectations are high. After the match, Enrique said that he's tired of talking about Kylian Mbappe. And to be fair, so am I. Let's just play. Let's finish the season in style and ride the wave of positivity. And by the way, I trust that Kylian Mbappe will, you know, I'm perfectly happy to accept that whatever we achieve this season is likely to depend on him quite a bit. So we need him to be on his best. Actions speak louder than Instagram posts, and let it be so in the future also for these last couple of months. A lot of credit has to be given to Vitinha. He was very amazing in this match, not just his goal, but in general. He was absolutely everywhere, and so was Gianluigi Donnarumma. Absolutely monstrous match by him, and he has been very good since his red card last autumn. Feels like that somehow changed things for the better. Perhaps those few matches gave him time to rest, reflect and regroup. A lot of credit goes to Luis Enrique also. What he has managed to do is really amazing. PSG is domestically unbeaten in all matches but one, and that was early on in the season. This is a really exciting time, full of possibilities. And if we don't win all the trophies, I wish we will win all of them, but it won't be very easy, of course. But even if we don't win them, the season will be far from failure. It will be pretty good season. I think it's safe to say that already Luis Enrique's first season will be a success, come almost what may in the final stretch. Of course, not almost there, but things are looking very good, and we have played with a strong identity, and he has been able to react. It's been more fun this season to watch PSG than many years before. I will also say this. While Marseille was desperately chasing the result with an extra player, Luis Enrique started to make substitutions to serve the long-term purpose. Well, longer than this one match. Marseille tries to score and Enrique gives key players a breather before Coupe de France and Champions League. Sorry, not sorry to all the supporters of Marseille, but we are not currently in the same league. Literally, we are, of course, but there are levels to this thing. At night later on, when the PSG squad arrived back home, the Ultras were at the airport welcoming them to the capital, and it was Warren Emery who led the sing along. PSG women have made their way to the Champions League semi-finals. They beat their quarter-final opponent, Swedish BK Häcken, twice. The second time was at Parc des Princes in front of our fans, Ultras and the others. And up next in the European competition is the domestic nemesis. That, of course, is Olympique Lyonnais. So, not an easy match, but PSG has come a long way since early part of this season. It's actually quite difficult to believe that this is still the same season when Gerard Brasseur gave the coaching job as an inheritance to his son Jocelyn, and that this is the same season where we started the Champions League group stage with two defeats but still went on to win the group of death, so to speak. I know this idea of group of death is a bit hacky, but it was clearly and by far the most difficult group in the whole competition with four tough teams. You know, some others had barely won, so winning that was getting through. the hard way. The team spirit seems to be on point. Tabita Chawinga cannot stop scoring by the look of it, and her partnership with Marie-Antoinette Katoto is coming along very, very nicely. Sakina Kashawiyi, Sandra Baltimore, and of course Captain Grace Kioro are all delivering on a very high level. Jackie Cronin is injured. We hope she will be back soon, but in her place, Corbin Albert has been great. This is not too much of a gossip, so of course, but Corbin Albert found herself a little bit in a hot water, as she seems to have come from a very conservative background in the US, which to us Europeans, it's quite an extreme thing that is not easy to necessarily identify with. And I know this show has a lot of listeners in the States. I see it from the statistics. So this idea might be more familiar to you if you are from there, but for us Europeans, it can come across quite extreme. So while she had been liking and sharing quite unhinged religious homophobic posts, things like that, the backlash came because certainly in those things women's football is quite inclusive and people don't accept much pious judgment of a biblical nature when it comes to, let's say, same-sex relationships. Anyway, she received a duly clap back by Megan Rapinoe and others, and an apology ensued. Perhaps this time for her, away from her bubble in a very international and diverse environment, will benefit her, as a new experiences tend to do to young people. I don't know. It's difficult to say much more about that other than those likes and whatever. They were not very becoming. She did score an absolute banger of a goal in the Champions League as well, to her credit. What has been really positive surprise to me is our January recruit, Eva Gattino. She's such a solid central defender who wins practically every single aerial duel and is strong on all other aspects too. I think she really has upgraded our defense. You never know. I think that the only goal should be beating OL. We shouldn't get into that duel in Champions League, or indeed in the Dijon, in the National League in France, with any other goal than to win and go through to be the champion. You know, ideally in both competitions. And of course, we are already in the Coupe de France final as well, where Lyon isn't. But the truth is that it's kind of interesting thing that as the Easter has now passed us, more or less, the men and the women's team both are alive in all competitions that are available for them, which is the league, the cup, and the European competition. So that's something that is quite exciting, something to look forward to, what is going to happen with those things. I record this episode on Monday, and yesterday on Sunday before Le Classique, PSG women did beat Dijon 3-0. Now there's a small international break, and then we continue the business end of the season, as the saying goes. PSG men play Coupe de France semi-final against Rennes on Wednesday. That is massively important match against a very difficult opponent, as we know them to be. Then on Saturday, it's Clermont in Ligue 1, and of course I want to win every match, but this is the one that makes the least difference, because the spot on top of the table is fairly secure now. Nothing is guaranteed until it is, but we aren't exactly threatened at this point, and we have big games coming. So I imagine there needs to be a healthy rotation in that match, and also Enrique needs to figure out how to play without Hakimi, who will be anyways missing the first leg of the Champions League quarterfinals because of an accumulated yellow card. So that one is pragmatic, because after that it's the big one, the real deal against Barcelona. It's very exciting. That's all. Thanks so much for listening, and check out the show, and feel free to talk to me online at PSG Review Pod on Twitter and at PSG Review on Instagram and TikTok. Tell a friend, tell an enemy, whoever might enjoy the show, and thank you so much for listening. It is much appreciated. My name is Nico, and this is PSG Review. Until next time, peace.